You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the alternative medicine wackos at bay, and also Cody Gilmer from Indieghost. Check them out at Indieghost Band on Twitter or on Spotify. Listen to them. This is a show for people who'd never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you got a question, you're embarrassed to take your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POO-HEAD. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcast medical news and stuff you can buy, or go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything here with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, rock star, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right, very good. So don't forget to check out stuff.drsteve.com. The holidays are coming up. For all your shopping needs, stuff.drsteve.com. You can just click through at the top to go to Amazon, or you can scroll down and look at all the different products that we've talked about on the show that we either recommend or that we've tried or we've talked about. Also, tweakedaudio.com makes the best stocking stuffers and excellent Hanukkah gifts. Tweakedaudio.com, the best earbuds for the price on the market and the best customer service anywhere. Use offer code FLUID for 33% off. Check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. And if you want to get to your ideal body weight, as I have for the first time since college, and I'm keeping it off, do noom.drsteve.com. It's N-O-O-M, November Oscar, Oscar Mike, .drsteve.com. And if you do that, if you want to try it, you can try it for 2 weeks. And you get most of the program in those 2 weeks. I mean, most feel the program. What you don't get is your group and your group counselor, but you get a feel for it. And if you decide to do it, it's just a 3-month program and you get 20% off. So it's a really good deal. Noom.drsteve.com. I cannot recommend this highly enough. It worked for me. Now, I've had some people say, it wasn't for me. And that's fine. You get to try it for free. So there's no risk in that regard. So give it a try, noom.drsteve.com. If you know anybody that needs it, that doesn't listen to the show, turn them on to it. You know, 20% off and 2 weeks free, you can't beat it. If you're lazy and you want to do your Noom and know how many calories you're eating, try Freshly. They deliver fresh prepared meals that make eating right super easy. I love the cauliflower shell bolognese. It sounds horrendous, I know, if you're not used to this. But I can't tell that that's not pasta, except that it doesn't kill my stomach like pasta does. And it doesn't spike my blood pressure or my blood sugar and all that stuff. So a little, just a modicum of sour cream on there, and it's awesome. And the steak is really good. And, it's microwaved, so, lower your expectations some in that regard. But there's a lot more food in this than there is in, say, something like a Lean Cuisine or something. And I think it's less processed and it's better for you. You can use my link to get 6 dinners for $39 for 2 weeks. That's $20 off each week. Give it a try and let me know what you think. That's Freshly. premium.drsteve.com. And then if you want archives of the show, go to premium.drsteve.com. Use the offer code FLUID and get half off. It's just $1.99 a month at the worst. And or you can go to drsteve.com and look around. There's a link where you can pay $30 and get a thumb drive with 16 gigs of every podcast that we've ever done since we started at Riotcast. So check that out as well. All right. Well, welcome back, Cody, from your triumphant Southeastern tour. And I understand you guys are applying to South by Southwest.
Yeah, I just found that out today, actually.
So what do you have to do to apply to be on South by Southwest, which would be awesome, by the way? I think you guys would kill.
I think we would do really well as well. I have no idea. Literally came straight from work, and I happened to glance over the message from our singer being the one applying for it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I will find out very shortly.
All right. Listen, there's a couple of things that I don't ask our listeners to do a whole lot of things other than go to like stuff.drsteve.com and
stuff.
Things like that. But for something like one year, P.A. John was in a beer competition. And I put out a tweet, hey, help B.A. John win. You can use your cell phone, call this number, and you can do up to 10 votes. And he apparently won by a margin larger than the number of people at the actual...
the attendees.
Yeah, the attendees at the festival.
That's awesome.
And they knew some shit was up, but, you know, they didn't know what. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't know who P.A. John was. No, well, nobody knows who he is. But there's a small cadre of people who know, and they came right to help us out. So, and that was awesome.
Your dedicated listeners.
It was
awesome.
So much fun, and he and I were just laughing, and I felt like a hero because I got to help out my buddy win this thing. I think he would have won anyway, because he, you know, but because he's won a bunch since then, so. But it was just fun to see him win by that many. But anyway, I would like to see our listeners, if you don't mind, just get on your Twitter right now and tweet to SXSW. It's at SXSW. And let's and just say that you'd like for at Indie Ghost Band to play at South by Southwest this year. They don't have to know that you're in, you know, England or Czech Republic listening to this and have no intention of going to South by Southwest. Just let's spam them and see what happens.
Yeah. Y'all are the shit.
Now, y'all don't know Cody very well, but I know Cody very well. And you will come to appreciate him like I do. And I'll tell you why I like having him on the show right now as a sort of a new person that's coming on a more regular basis, because he's a fucking hypochondriac.
I tend to be.
And that's, for a medical show, it gives us something to talk about. So what do we got this week?
Well, I don't know if this is a hypochondria moment, because I definitely have tendonitis.
It really, really does hurt.
It does, and it will not go away.
Right.
I keep getting it to start to feel a little bit better.
Give yourself a bill!
And then immediately it goes right back to the same old bunch of bullshit.
Okay, well, nobody can see what you're pointing at, because you're on the radio, so tell us what
happened. Oh, did I not say tendonitis?
Well, I don't know.
Tendonitis.
You got lots of tendons in your
like
body.
Right below my elbow. There I don't know, would that be considered my elbow, like, right in here?
Yeah,
it's
sure.
Because I'll let someone who's a medical professional describe on where I'm talking about.
Okay, so
I know my elbow's here.
The elbow is the joint between the forearm and the arm itself.
So what would be, it'd be in my forearm.
You're on the lateral aspect, in other words, the outside part. So you've got lateral and medial. Medial is inside toward the body.
Oh, okay.
And lateral would be outside away from the body.
So a lateral.
And it's right under the place where the little bony prominence is in the elbow.
Mm-hmm. Right here.
Like, if you could put screws in there, that'd be like the Frankenstein joint.
Yeah.
So right below that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Scott, take it. I know exactly what you got.
Yeah, but in what he's got, it's interesting, though. What really kind of nailed down the diagnosis is he's got one of those typical black elbow braces.
Right.
That we typically give to people that have a thing called lateral epicondylitis, right?
Okay.
And he's also wearing a wrist brace with metal plates in it. to keep his wrist from rolling back and forth,
right,
and keep him from moving his wrist. So what you've got is a pretty classic lateral epicondylitis,
which is
also known as tennis elbow.
There you
okay.
go.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Give yourself a bell.
I knew tennis elbow.
Not to be confused with medial epicondylitis, which is golfer's elbow. Okay.
Oh, so there is a difference.
There's a golfer's elbow. It's on the
Give
inside.
Give yourself a bell.
And what that, now, the reason you've got the lateral epicondylitis.
He gets one of those anytime he says something correct because it's so infrequent.
It's pretty infrequent. But what you've got, it's an overuse injury and it's a repetitive use injury. What's happening is the radius is in your lower arm, your distal arm, is rotating over the ulna. So the radius you can find by it's the little bone on the thumb side. That's how you can remember.
Okay.
But what happens is it's rolling over the ulna, which is a little bit larger bone in your lower arm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some ligaments and tendons where you're poking there. And almost everybody, if you'll walk your fingers up your arm and then bend your elbow, you can follow the crease in your elbow over to a really sensitive spot where those ligaments and tendons attach. And that's what happens when the muscles start to pull. And when they pull, you get some tension spots in there, and that's just what that is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's the epicondyle of that bone, which is just where those ligaments and tendons attach. Yep. And it's like a hinge, and it's
the hinge technically part.
It's a hinge part. It's a hinge joint. And what the reason the brace on your wrist actually helps is because what it stopped is that rotation of your wrist and rotating the wrist, so it's not rotating your elbow. So a couple things I tell people all the time. Anytime you pick anything up and you've got a tendonitis in your elbow, don't pick up anything with your thumb pointed in, or as we say, medially. In other words, the palm of your hand down and the upper part of your hand facing up. Because when you do that, all of that load goes on your elbow.
Okay.
So
think about a backhanded tennis thing. Same thing.
So none of this.
Yeah, so doing that. So anytime you're doing this, backhand in tennis is a really difficult stressor because all the load goes right there. So if you'll turn your hand where your thumb is pointing up, like you're giving somebody a thumbs up, now what you're doing is all of the load is going to your bicep and takes the tension off of your elbow.
Oh, so, give yourself a bell.
So when you're at work and you're flipping things or chopping things or whatever, if you can just kind of keep your elbow down to your side and keep your thumb up, that'll take away some of the pain.
That's super handy.
Yeah, and then when you're jumping around the stage and doing crazy stuff with the guitar.
Does it hurt when you're playing?
Yeah.
That's what's interesting. Not all the time.
If you're tensing up and banging on a keyboard, it would. Be a problem.
Yeah. It didn't hurt a few practices, but I got to one show and about three quarters of the way through, I was about done with the show because it was extremely painful.
Well, and part of that, Dr. Steve, is most likely what he's got now is when you're playing guitar, if you get your elbow kind of fanned out and your wrist tucked in to play, that's just too much tension. If you'll relax the elbow some and try to keep your wrist kind of flat while you're playing,
that's awesome.
It's just a positional thing.
And that makes a lot of sense.
We see a lot of
now
times.
The tennis elbow brace puts a different fulcrum on there. Okay, so what that's supposed to do, it should be tight enough, so that's putting compression on that tendon. So now when you flex those muscles, the tension will go to the part of that band that is, you know, the farthest down the arm.
Yeah, the band actually acts as a ligament or tendon now.
Right, and so it's basically protecting the ligament that is, or the tendon that is injured, and it's creating a fulcrum so that all the pressure is going to the end of that band. Now, sometimes that's all you need to do. Sometimes that's all you need to do. But if it doesn't work, of course, always ice.
I've been icing the hell out of it.
And when I say ice, you know, cold compresses, you don't want to put ice directly on it. But
what would happen if I put ice directly on it?
Well, you can get
burn.
You can get freezer burn because remember, ice can be below 32 degrees, right? It can be infinitely cold.
Oh yeah. Well, I've been putting ice directly on it for quite a while.
So just do this though. We like frozen peas. If you're not just going to go out and buy a cold pack, frozen peas, and wrap that in like a paper towel and put that on there so that there's a little bit of thermal insulation and the cold, it doesn't get so cold. And then Then you can just throw those peas back in the freezer when they warm up and just don't use them to eat once they've been frozen and refrozen. Yeah, they suck. Yeah, but, you know, a bag of peas costs 39 cents. And then if none of this works, where you're taking the pressure off of it and you're using the brace and you're icing it and taking maybe but you have rectal bleeding, though, right?
Yeah.
Is that you? So you don't want to be taking a lot of ibuprofen.
No.
So anti-inflammatory is not the greatest idea for you, but
at least orally, yeah.
What I could do is inject that sucker. And we could do that live on the show sometime, and we'll get Scott to videotape it.
Oh, that sounds fun. Well,
yeah, and I can make the pain completely go away within about 30 seconds because, you know what a tracer bullet is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so why do you put tracers in like a machine gun?
See the trajectory?
You're right. So particularly at night, but you can, at day, you can see where the hell you're shooting, right? Yeah. So it's like every 10th bullet or something like that. Is how you know, and so what it really is just confirming that your aim is right. Okay,
yeah.
So think of it that way. So when we do a cortisone injection, we'll add a short acting, and I always add a long acting anesthetic as well. And when I do that, it makes it feel better right away. But what I'm really doing is making sure that the cortisone's going in the right place. So it's acting like a tracer bullet. When I shoot up your elbow with this stuff and you go, oh, the pain's totally gone afterward, then I know I put the cortisone in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I always just put, because I'm a, you know, I deal with chronic pain, I put the real long-acting anesthetic in there just to give people some relief for a little while longer.
Can we please do this? Because I've literally been dealing with this for like 3 months.
Oh, yeah. I may even have the stuff, so we'll see. But
hell yeah.
What you could do is come to my office. I won't be, well, anyway, we'll talk about it. But yeah, we could do it. But I wouldn't mind. I'd love to do it on the show.
That'd be easy. And the other thing is if you've had a round of steroids and it helped for a short period of time and then it kind of comes back, that's kind of when people tend to come see me. And we actually do the acupuncture in the elbow and the forearm and the upper arm just to take the tension off of the elbow.
Bullshitting?
Hey. But real quickly, the last thing, Dr. Steve, I'll tell you, what a lot of people I see Cody do is they wear that elbow brace too low. And he's right. It takes the tension off the tendon. But if you don't wear it up high enough, I'm talking about right in the crease, it doesn't stop that rotation.
See, that's
of
something,
the elbow.
Yeah, that's something I was really questioning about. Because honestly,
They just hand them to you.
Yeah, and you just slap it on there.
And you just slap it on.
You want that as high in your, and it goes up right in that elbow crease.
Right in
and
the
it'll
crease?
And it'll stop almost to the crease, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here?
You want the upper part of the brace at the base of the crease.
Okay.
So, yeah. So you want to just kind of right there.
I see these people with humeral fractures, you know, like if they're not going to fix it for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah.
I
talk about a humeral. Right. Ooh, boy.
Right.
When I talk about a humeral fracture, I'm talking about the long bone of the arm, not the forearm. Mm-hmm. And up at the shoulder, you can break that.
Yep.
You know, and it's, you know, you get this humeral fracture, and they will give people a thing called a sling and swath. It's a sling, but then the swath goes all the way around your body, and what it's supposed to do is hold that arm immobile against your chest.
So you cannot move it.
Right. And I just see people, and they just throw them at them, and they don't know how to do it.
No.
They just take that big piece of fabric and throw it away, and they just got a sling, and they're just moving their arm around. It doesn't do anything.
Well, I kind of felt that way with this brace specifically, because I knew I wasn't. I'm actually glad you answered that, because I knew I wasn't putting it on correctly, but I've been just shooting in the dark, essentially.
Of course.
Trying to figure it out.
Of course. Well, everybody is.
Yep. Hell yeah. Yep. I'm excited.
So, okay, we'll do that.
Yes.
We can get you feeling better.
Yeah, that it's steroid and a little long acting thing will make it feel much better quick. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds very pleasant. Well, I'm all about it.
All right. So at Indie Ghost Band, INDIGHOST Band. There's no E in there. It's Indie Ghost, right? Indie Ghost Band.
Wait, an E in what? There's an E in the.
Yep. Yeah, but there's no the in your Twitter handle. It's just Indie Ghost Band.
Let me double check. I'm pretty sure.
Fucks.
I'm gonna double check. I can find that out real quick, but
okay,
I don't wanna steer people wrong here.
Nope. I'm doing it right now.
I don't even have a Twitter. I just use the Indie Ghost Twitter, which
Indie Ghost Band. There's no the.
Give me a minute.
That's you.
It is just Indie Ghost.
Right. But it's not INDIE Ghost. It's Indie with an I, Ghost Band, all one word. Indie Ghost Band. And
as usual, Dr. Steve is correct.
So there you go.
Give yourself a bill.
You're learning. I'll tweet that out at the end of the show today, and we'll get that shit going.
Hell yeah. Spam the hell out of them. All right. I appreciate you guys.
And you never know. But all right. Anything else? We got anything else? Is that it? Scott, you got anything?
No, I think it's good.
Okay. All right. Let me get let's do some questions then.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right. Sounds good. Let's see here. Well.
Hey, Dr. Steve. Hope you're doing well and got the real estate MLS listings I sent you. I just finishing up updating the Ebola map. I had a Ebola patient today at Washington, D.C.
Okay, so this is our buddy from the Ebola map. I think it's just ebolamap.com. Check that out, Scott. See what his thing is. And he loves to talk about Ebola, but the reason I played this was not because there was a patient in Washington, D.C., if there was. I mean, he said there was. Who am I to say there wasn't? But this is from October 18th from the World Health Organization. Not some fly-by-night BS organization, but in fact, the World Health Organization. And the title is Major Milestone for WHO-Supported Ebola Vaccine. All right, the World Health Organization welcomes the European Medicines Agency announcement recommending a conditional marketing authorization for the RVSV-ZEBOV-GP vaccine, which has been shown to be effective in protecting people from the Ebola virus. Today's announcement by the EMA. Why is Europe up front on this? Why aren't we? The European agency responsible for the scientific evaluation of medicines developed by pharmaceutical companies is a key step before the European Commission decision on licensing. In parallel, WHO, that's the World Health Organization, will move toward pre-qualification of the vaccine. The conditional authorization of the world's first Ebola vaccine is a triumph for public health and a testimony to the unprecedented collaboration between scores of experts worldwide, said Dr. Tedros Adhanom, the WHO Director General. Try to pronounce this, GHEBREYESUS. Ghebreyesus. Okay, Ghebreyesus. I'll say that. It's probably Smith, but, you know, it's all... Did you know that you can spell fish, G-H-O-T-I?
Wait, what?
Yes. So this was George Bernard Shaw was showing how ridiculous English is, and he showed how you could spell fish, G-H-O-T-I. So you're using the G-H from enough. That's... sound, mm-hmm, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The O from women and the T-I from, like, nation. Mm. So G-H-O-T-I, fish.
What the hell? I'm never going to get that.
Well, sure, okay.
No, I get it, but I'm not going to get it.
Yep, that's why you're here, my brother.
Indeed.
Right. It's just an endless... okay, anyway.
Oh, Lord.
Never-ending supply of goodness with Cody here for a while. Let's see here. In the past 5 years, WHO has convened experts to review the evidence on various Ebola vaccine candidates, inform policy recommendations, and mobilized a multilateral coalition to accelerate clinical evaluations. Now, you know, when they do something like this, yeah, okay, we got a Ebola vaccine. That's cool. Well, what about the next virus? Well, the neat thing is that now they have an accelerated mechanism for developing the next vaccine that we need for some damn thing. You know, mm-hmm. if these the sky is falling, infectious disease predictions about the glaciers melting, where we're going to have these 100,000-year-old viruses that the Earth hasn't seen that are going to, you know, come back, which, by the way, is pretty unlikely because most viruses that we know won't live 5 minutes outside a host, you know. Mm-hmm. But say there is some crazy super virus, we should have a mechanism at least for convening all these people. And, you know, vaccine research ain't exactly rocket science. I mean, you're looking at making antibodies to proteins on the virus itself. So you just got to identify the virus proteins that we can create in the lab that will prevent infection. That last part is the trick. And once you do that, you basically have a vaccine. So let me see. The randomized trial for the vaccine began during the West Africa Ebola outbreak in 2015 when no other organization was positioned to run a trial in Guinea during the complex emergency. The government of Guinea and the WHO took the unusual step to lead the trial. Good for them. Hmm. A global coalition of funders and researchers provided the critical support required. Funders included Canadian government, the Norwegian ministry, the UK government. Where the hell is the United States in this? Hmm.
Behind.
Yep.
Well, I'm a little disappointed by that. The trial was successfully run using an innovative ring vaccine design. Let's see here. Okay, there's 8 vaccines undergoing clinical evaluation. Okay, hopefully we're working on one of the other ones that's going to even be better than this, but, you know. The announcement will not have an immediate effect on how the vaccine is accessed or administered in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, as licensing has not yet occurred, and licensed doses will only be available in mid-2020. Hmm. So, in the current Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo, more than 236,000 people have been vaccinated. Oh, donated by Merck. Now, let's look and see if Merck is an American company. Maybe yep. We're doing something right, including more than 60,000 health and frontline workers in that country, in also Uganda, South Sudan, Rwanda, and Burundi. This vaccine has already saved many lives in the current Ebola outbreak. Wouldn't it be nice if this Ebola would just become a thing where people get it? And it'd be great if the vaccine, if you're in an endemic area, or an area where it can become an epidemic, that they just vaccinate everybody, just like we do smallpox. We still do polio. And it would be really great if it's fast acting so that you can go in to an outbreak and just vaccinate everybody around the person that is suffering from the illness, because that's how we got smallpox. We didn't vaccinate everybody in the world to eradicate smallpox. What we did was we went wherever there was a smallpox case and vaccinated everybody around them. And the vaccine was so rapid acting that the virus stopped right there. The other good thing about smallpox is there's no asymptomatic carriers. Okay. So if you've got someone that is carrying the disease and giving it to people like Typhoid Mary, but doesn't have symptoms, that screws everything up because you don't know who they are. So you need a disease that doesn't have any people that can give it without having symptoms, at least not for long. And Ebola is one of those diseases. As far as we know, there aren't asymptomatic carriers walking around.
So there's no way to know.
No, so there is a way to know. So there are not asymptomatic carriers, meaning there's not people who are showing no outward sign of disease, just walking around giving it to all kinds of random people. Now, they may in the beginning, before they show symptoms,
yeah,
but it's
12
a
hours
short,
or so,
short
yeah.
period of time.
Real short.
For a simple guy over here, what is yep. Ebola virus?
It's a gnarly.
Give yourself a bill.
Okay, so
I'm getting it confused with something else.
No, Ebola is this hemorrhagic fever virus that, you know, first emerged on the continent of Africa, and is, you know, kills a large percentage of people that get it. It's nowhere near 100%, but it's large.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
All right, let's ask A-L-E-X-A, except I changed her name. Echo, what's the mortality rate from Ebola?
Here's something I found from the article Ebola virus disease on Wikipedia. Mm. Ebola has a high mortality rate among primates. Did that answer your question?
Well, kind of. No, not really. Okay, let me see more.
Thanks for your feedback.
So the one thing about Ebola, which is kind of unique, is it kills so quickly that it doesn't spread. Kind of like the
death rate. Oh well, shoot, I was wrong. I was thinking that its death rate had been exaggerated, but it's about 90%. So, and it's a member of this filovirus family, and they're real long, sort of weird looking viruses, you know. What were you going to say? Sorry.
No, I was just saying that the one thing about the Ebola virus, which is different from a flu virus, you know, flu virus is passed on from person to person because it kind of has a long incubation period. So
right.
It's easy to share, but Ebola blows up fast and kills fast. So it tends to kill in groups, you know, a very close proximity.
And you're spewing all kinds of fluids that are
fast.
What were you confusing it with?
This I have
herpes.
Yeah, you're gonna laugh. Is it Zika virus?
Oh, Zika. Yeah.
Zika virus. That's the one I was getting confused with.
Yeah. Okay. So
similar, but not really.
No. I mean, Zika is virus. Just another new virus that we didn't know about until a while ago. And that's the one that if pregnant women get it,
yeah, that's the one.
Then the babies are born with little tiny heads. So.
Yeah, and that's one. That's,
you know, I didn't know it was
mosquito.
I knew it affected pregnant women, but I did not know tiny heads.
Yeah, it's a mosquito-borne illness, and it makes the heads literally are profoundly small.
Tropical areas. Yeah.
Are the infants still born or survive?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Do they have tiny heads?
Yeah. Well, and I don't know how their development is. I would think it's not good.
You
know,
yeah, it can't be that great.
They're developmentally challenged.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
There should, let's see, Zika babies.
Pretty difficult thing.
Let's see what it says. Developmental delays persist in Brazil. Zika babies grow up. Yeah. Let's see here.
I'm going to have to do some virus research because...
Well, that's what you have us for.
Exactly.
Okay, a new study published Wednesday in the New England Journal of Medicine reports that a group of Zika babies from Brazil who are being followed to assess their progress, 14% had severe developmental problems. So it's only 14%. They said this was higher than they had suggested previously.
Hmm.
These children scored unusually low scores on testing of their cognition, motor, or language skills, or they had visual or hearing impairment. And... So there you go. Testing was done the second year of life for these young children between the ages of 12 and 18 months. And of the total, 94 of the children underwent imaging. Six of the children had microcephaly, and were so profoundly impacted that in essence the psychological testing could not be conducted. So it doesn't affect everybody the same way. But, so Ebola, and Scott's right, that's why we haven't had this sort of worldwide pandemic that everybody thought, because it's really easy to give it to people.
Mm-hmm.
because of just the huge amounts of fluids that are infectious, including semen is infectious for longer. You know, you can get over the illness and still have the filovirus in your semen. And there have been some cases of suspected transmission that way. But there are it kills people so fast that it tends not to spread like you would think it would. You know, like those in the science fiction movies where you see the pathogen, you know, working its way across the globe. It just doesn't do that.
Kind of cuts itself off.
Yeah. Let me, this is my kid calling. Let's see here. Beck, you're on Weird Medicine.
Awesome. Can you take me to guitar practice?
To guitar at what time? 5:30? Yes.
Yeah.
I certainly can, my friend.
Okay.
But I cannot pick you up because I have a board meeting. Your mother will have to pick you up.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, listen to the voice on this kid.
He's got
Dude, we
got
to get you into radio.
He's got it. He's got the voice.
Okay.
All right. Do you have anything to say to your loyal fans?
No.
Yeah, that's the problem. All right, see you later, buddy. That's the issue with the whole radio thing.
Yes.
All right. No.
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 At least he knows.
Yeah, so this vaccine's very exciting. It would be interesting to see if we can do that sort of treat the cases and treat the people around the cases. All depends on how quickly this vaccine works. So if I shit on you and then 12 hours later they come and vaccinate you, mm-hmm. will it protect you? If it doesn't, then that technique isn't going to work. What they're going to they could maybe go out to the community, but it won't protect the people in the family, and it won't stop the virus. So in that case, the better strategy is generally going to be to just vaccinate everybody in areas where this is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably can't eradicate it. This is the other issue with this vaccine. Smallpox, the only reservoir that we knew of were humans. In Ebola, there's probably an animal reservoir somewhere. Until we figure out where this stuff hides between outbreaks, bats, you know, wild pigs, who knows? It's hiding somewhere. Until we find that out and vaccinate them, we won't be able to get rid of it. You know, in this country, people generally don't die of rabies, but there's still rabies around. We still got to vaccinate our dogs because foxes and bats will still pass the virus around. All right?
This is so over my head, but I am fascinated.
Well, that's why we want you here, because seriously, if... Well, now that's my other...
I don't even know this.
No, this actually helps. It helps us
to break it
down. Yeah, it helps us to break it down.
Liam, you're on Weird Medicine.
Pizza,
what's that?
Pizza,
I will certainly do so.
Thank you.
Do you want to say something to your loyal fans on the radio?
No.
There you go. Runs in the family. Okay, see you, man. Liam used to be on this show all the time.
Yes. Before he grew up.
Yeah, he did a thing with Eastside Dave where they got in this sort of wrestling argument back and forth, you know, hey, shut up, McDonald, you know, and Eastside Dave took it too far. And if you're interested, go back, go to drsteve.com. You know, you'll have to have a season pass. It's $1.99. You go to premium.drsteve.com. You can get one. Use offer code FLUID. It's $1. And then go back. I think it's like episode number 10, but it's Liam versus Eastside Dave, and the whole saga is on there. So anyway,
I'm gonna have to look that up.
It was pretty entertaining until Dave went too far, which Dave is wont to do, but that's fine. That's why we love him. All right, let's see what else we got here.
I'm like scared of viruses now.
Hey, Dr. Steve, my name's Mike. I have a 2.5-year-old that was diagnosed with autism. And people keep sending me this link that's going around about a 3-year-old autistic child that his parents treated him with some CBD oil or CBD oral gummies, I believe. And he started to talk in 2 days, you know, this magic, wonderful, weird, you know, super drug supposedly. Actually went on PubMed, and there seems to be a lot of research between ASD and CBD oil, but it's a little hard to wade through. Just wanted your opinions on it.
Yeah. So, autism's very tough illness for the kid and for the family in a lot of cases. And, there's a whole spectrum of autism. Some kids are very high functioning, some not. And people are desperate for an answer. That's why the vaccine thing happened, because people really were saying, wow, we could prevent this from happening. There's the side that we want to blame somebody too, but really, I think that the honest brokers in that got caught up in it really were looking for a simple way that we could prevent this from happening to our kids. And if it were just mercury and vaccines, it'd be great. Mm-hmm. They would just get rid of it and that'd be the end of it. We wouldn't have this problem anymore. Of course, it's proved to be infinitely more complex than that. And this kind of evidence is called what? Now, see, this is what we're going to see over the next few months if Cody actually pays attention to this stuff. So this is, Scott knows, it's the worst kind of evidence. What is it, Scott?
Anecdotal.
Anecdotal evidence. That's exactly right.
Give yourself a bill.
So anecdotal evidence is just where you say, right, it's where I say, well, this worked for me, I don't even doubt the veracity of these people's claim that they gave their kid CBD oil and within a few days he or she started to get better. You could explain that a million different ways, that they're looking at him differently, or the CBD actually, he had some sort of cannabidiol defect and that they're replacing. It'd be really interesting if they didn't give it to him, does he get worse or did he just, was it a cure, or was he or she going to get better anyway on Tuesday and they just started giving the CBD oil on Sunday? You know, those kinds of things. You just don't know. And that's the problem with anecdotal evidence. It's not generalizable. You can't say, well, because it worked for me, it's going to work for everybody else. Because CBD oil wasn't just invented yesterday. And I firmly believe that if it was a medication that would dramatically rewire these kids' brains for the better, that we would know it already. But let's just say we don't. Nobody's ever thought to do it before. Well, that's when we go to the medical literature. And the medical literature, I did a search, and I searched for cannabidiol and autism, and there were only 14 articles that I could find. And the one that I found that's the most recent that was something that we're looking for in quality evidence was this one from Frontiers in Pharmacology. Oral cannabidiol use in children with autism spectrum disorder to treat related symptoms and comorbidities. Okay, so here's the abstract. Children with autism spectrum disorder commonly exhibit comorbid symptoms such as aggression, hyperactivity, and anxiety. Several studies are being conducted worldwide on cannabidiol use in ASD, we'll just call it ASD from now on, autism spectrum disorder. However, these studies are still ongoing and data on the effects of its use is very limited. So in this study, they're not even looking to try to quote unquote cure autism. They're just using it to treat secondary symptoms. But if it's a cure, they should go, well, hell, we did this and look at these kids now. All of a sudden they're high functioning, right? Mm-hmm. In this study, we aim to report the experience of parents who administer under supervision oral cannabinoids to their children with ASD. So this is not a double-blind placebo-controlled study, so already we can't make generalizable claims about this. Yeah. Okay, so Cody, the double-blind placebo-controlled studies where you give one group the medicine, another group an identical medicine that has no effect that we know of.
I actually do know what a double-blind.
Okay, all right. Well,
crazy
very good.
Enough.
Well, ain't you something then?
That's right.
So, so I don't have to explain that, and our listeners certainly know what it is. So it says, parents of children with ASD were instructed by a nurse practitioner how to administer oral drops of cannabidiol oil. Information on comorbid symptoms and safety was prospectively recorded biweekly. So this is at least a prospective study, not a retrospective study. They do the intervention and then they follow them forward into the new present. And they were prospectively recorded biweekly during follow-up interviews. An independent group of specialists analyzed these data for changes in ASD symptoms and drug safety. So here's the results. 53 children at a median age of 11, and they ranged from 4 to 22, received cannabidiol for a median duration of 66 days. So, you know, that's a pretty good amount of time. Mm-hmm. Self-injury and rage attacks improved in 67.6% and worsened in 8%. Hyperactivity symptoms improved in 68.4%. Did not change in 28.9% and worsened in 2.6%. Sleep problems improved in 71.4%. Anxiety. Now, how did they? That now this is a qualitative assessment of anxiety. In other words, was your kid less anxious? They're not doing a validated screening tool. At least now that I can see.
Right.
Improved in 47.1%. So there could be bias, significant amount of bias, because there's no placebo arm in this.
Yeah.
You know, particularly if the parents believed that the cannabidiol would work, the CBD is like
magic. Really working great.
Yeah. Then they will be biased to give you more positive results.
Right.
Adverse effects, mostly somnolence and change in appetite, were mild. Conclusion: parents reports suggest that cannabidiol may improve ASD comorbidity symptoms. However, the long-term effects should be evaluated in large-scale studies. So that's where we are. Looks like maybe it'll help for some stuff. Does not appear to be a cure. You'll notice not one of these kids that they report were, you know, cured of their autism, or that they, you know, their functional level increased. Would they have reported that? Yes, I believe they would have.
Yes.
Okay, if they had some stunning result like that. So I think that it's very interesting. If you're interested in trying this in your child with autism, just please don't do this on your own. Yes, you can buy it over the counter. Talk to your pediatrician about it. If they're intransigent about it, go find one that's a little more well-read and see if they're willing to work with you on this. And the reason I say that is there was one in 10 of these kids actually got worse, and I don't know how worse they got. Well, so I want you to have support from your pediatrician or your neurologist or whoever you're working with.
Well, going back to what you were saying earlier, though, that one in 10, that one may have was going to get worse anyway.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, which you just don't know. You just don't know.
Because so we can't...
You can't say that the medicine causes...
The good effects or the bad effects, because we don't have a placebo arm.
Right, right.
But these kinds of studies, because there was two-thirds of the kids seemed to get better, and it was probably different two-thirds got better on two-thirds of different things. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't two-thirds of them got better on all of those things. Mm-hmm. But that's enough to say, you know what, we need to do a double-blind placebo-controlled study.
Dig a little deeper.
With very well-defined endpoints.
Right. You know? And I think breaking down those behavioral endpoints and overall success is a good idea.
Yeah. Here's another one that's just from Global Pediatric Health: autism spectrum disorder and cannabidiol. Have we seen this movie before? And this is somebody saying, let me get the free full text. I think this is just an opinion piece saying, you know what, we've been around this block before with hyperbaric oxygen and all this other stuff, and we've been disappointed, so don't get your hopes up. I'm sure that's what they're saying. Yeah, let me read their conclusion. The use of CBD for clinical applications has gained increasing attention given its lack of psychoactive properties, and in other words, it doesn't make you high, and potential benefits that have been noted in certain disease states, such as pediatric epilepsy. Absolutely the drug of choice for certain refractory pediatric, you know, seizure disorders is CBD oil.
Right.
It's number one. So when people say to me, well, CBD oil, does it work? Well, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Work for what? Mm-hmm. Does it cure cancer? No. Is it an excellent treatment for kids with refractory seizure disorder? Heck
yes.
Yeah. You know, again, do it with under the auspices. You don't know what dose to give your kid. You don't know. You do not know, but your pediatrician will, because will, because there are FDA.
Okay.
Has the FDA got involved with CBD? That was my question.
Yes and no.
Yes and no. If it's derived from hemp, they're not. Okay, so if it's derived from hemp,
because it's a natural product,
CBD is not regulated by the FDA.
It's now, technically a supplement.
They could step in. They sell it as a nutritional supplement. Mm-hmm.
If it's
derived from cannabis sativa or cannabis indica, then yes,
my fave.
Yeah, then it has to be extracted and the THC has to be removed and purified. Or if it's synthesized in the laboratory. Either one of those, then it's a controlled substance by the DEA, and it can only be sold by prescription through an FDA approved process.
Know your product.
Okay, yeah. Yep. So your pediatrician will know the dose because there is an FDA approved CBD product for refractory seizures.
I'm glad to know that the FDA has at least gotten involved a part of it.
Yeah, right. Well, we have medical marijuana in all 50 states. As long as you're willing to use Marinol, you know, with dronabinol, it is a synthetic THC.
What the hell is a synthetic THC?
It means it's made in the lab, not extracted from the plant.
They can do that?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, that's trivial. It really is trivial.
That's wild.
Synthesizing organic molecules of that size in the lab.
Is that what they did? Okay, this is another strange question. Is that what they did with fake weed back in the day? Or is that just some underground garage crap?
Right. So the synthetic marijuana is what you're talking about. Were other cannabinoids. Okay, so cannabinoid, this is a large group of cannabis-like molecules, right?
Okay.
Cannabidiol is one of them.
Yeah.
Tetrahydrocannabinol is another one. That's THC.
I know about tetra a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, being a rock star.
Yeah, rock star, that's right.
But, you know, and there are other ones, and some of them not only didn't prevent seizures, but caused seizures and stuff like that. But because they were a different molecule, they weren't regulated by the DEA. That was how they got around that. So if you take, you know, a banned molecule and mess with it, now all of a sudden it's a different molecule as far as the law is concerned, and you can sell it, you know, on the open market for a while until they catch on and then they bust you again.
Well, I know they had a problem getting rid of it. Have they, like, I don't see it.
I haven't
that
seen
stuff.
It in ages.
I do not advise any of that stuff.
Yeah, well, good. Yeah, we don't either. Because we have a whole spiel about street drugs, but you'll hear it before too long. Mm-hmm. Let's see. So, it just says there's a paucity of literature supporting the clinical evidence for use of CBD and ASD. CBD and similar products remain a promising yet unproven intervention in the treatment of children with ASD. So that's just where they are. Okay, so if it were a panacea, we'd already know, but it may have some use, but do it under the auspices of your treating pediatrician, if you don't mind. Thank you very much. All right.
Good question.
Let's do another.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I had squamous cell cancer 2 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Gave me 2 sublethal doses of cisplatin in addition to radiation. Anyway.
Well, hopefully there's sublethal.
Peripheral neuropathy, thyroid's dead, colon has no peristaltic activity.
Yeah.
Does the cisplatin continue to have cytotoxic damage in time? It appears that it's getting worse.
Yeah.
As far as the effects. Anyway, if you have any thoughts on that,
okay. Yeah, so cisplatin is a chemotherapeutic drug, and it's well known to in some people to affect peripheral nerve fibers. When I say peripheral nerve fibers, I'm talking about like in your feet and hands and stuff like that. And it will cause a thing called chemotherapy-induced peripheral neuropathy. Now, he also has the nerves going to his bowel have been affected. And we would treat those things differently, okay? So that'll cause constipation and inability to just have a good bowel movement where you're, you know, actually voiding everything. And so if you will go to my website, because I have peripheral neuropathy myself, and go to my website at drsteve.com and then click on For Neuropathy Sufferers. I've got a whole article on there on nutritional supplements that we use every day in the cancer center, and a lot of it came from research, or I wouldn't want to say research, but information that I found while researching nutritional supplements that might be of some benefit in peripheral neuropathy. Hmm. Because when I went to my neurologist, they said, well, you got neuropathy. We'll see you later. Hmm. And I was not satisfied with that. So I just did some, and I'm not a real big, I mean, people have been listening to this show for ages, know that I'm not real big on nutritional supplements, right, unless there's some reason for it. But I had a funny feeling that there might be a nutritional aspect to this neuropathy, and I was rewarded by several very positive studies, though none very conclusive either, mm-hmm, showing a number of nutritional supplements that can have some benefit in peripheral neuropathy. So I give these to everybody now when they first start it. And we don't have enough people to tell if we're having a huge effect or not. But I know for me, it absolutely saved my ass, because my neuropathy got so bad that I couldn't stand up straight in the shower and close my eyes when I was washing my hair.
Well, but you also identified one of the causes of your neuropathy, too, which helped. And he's kind of identified one of his causes of his neuropathy.
Are you talking about the MTHFR gene, or what are you talking about?
No, statins.
Oh, well, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I still have it, and I've been off statins for ages now. So, you're right. Mine might have been statin-induced. His is chemotherapy-induced.
Right.
Both off
That's
of our
point.
Drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yes, these things can continue to progress for some time. The cisplatin isn't in your system anymore, but the damage is done. Just think about it. Let me give you the best example I can real quick. Poison ivy. So when you encounter poison ivy, it might start on your wrist, and then the next day it's halfway up your arm, and then it's at your elbow, and then it's at your shoulder, okay? And that may happen over 4 or 5 days. And you think, oh, it's spreading. I'm scratching it, and it's spreading. That's not what's happening. Oh, what happened is you got the insult all at once. But at your wrist, you may have gotten, say, 4 parts per million. And then in your mid-forearm, you got 8 parts per million. And then your elbow, you got 20. And then your shoulder, you got 40 or whatever. It might even be parts per billion. I don't know. But so the place that got the highest concentration is going to be affected first.
Yeah.
And that may be the case with this chemo-induced neuropathy, too, where, you know, the insult is felt greatest at the places that are most vulnerable, and then even though the insult happened, it takes a while for the rest of it to kick in. But the nutritional supplements are things like glutamine. It's just an amino acid. What you're wanting to do, alpha lipoic acid is another one that's reasonably well studied, and there are others. Just go to my website. I've got a whole article there with citations and links to the PubMed articles where you can read it yourself. And I took a cocktail of those because I was desperate to get some relief, and took all 4 of them at once, and that really seemed to accelerate the improvement for me. Now, that's anecdotal evidence, isn't it? I'm just saying it worked for me. I'm not saying it'll work for anybody else. But I could not stand up in the shower and close my eyes and wash my hair without falling down. Now I can spin around, dance, beat off, do whatever I want to with my eyes closed and no problem. So, yeah.
That's fascinating.
So I might have gotten better anyway. So that's why we're looking always for more placebo-controlled double-blind studies for this kind of thing. But look at that. If you have any questions, email me at weirdmedicine@riotcast.com, or just click, you know what, forget that. Go to drsteve.com and click contact and just ignore the warnings and email us through there.
Some other things he may try, though, maybe a little manual techniques.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Sometimes just manual stimulation from physical therapy, TENS units, you know, acupuncture, et cetera,
yoga.
Stuff like that might be able to help him a little bit with his colon moving.
Possibly. Oh, yeah. Oh, the colon.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, let's
Speaking
talk about that.
Specifically colon, yeah.
Yeah, so the osteopaths have a maneuver for stimulating the colon to move. You could see an osteopath. Yes, you could try acupuncture. It's not going to hurt.
Yeah, physical therapy.
I'd like to see some data on that one, but I'm sure that there, you know, if the spinal manipulation will actually improve what we call ileus, or a paralyzed bowel, then I could see that acupuncture might as well. The other thing is there's a new drug on the market called prucalopride. and it's sold under the trade name of Motegrity, and it is an actual bowel stimulant. We haven't had one of these since a drug called Zelnorm was taken off the market about 15 years ago. Maybe it was longer than that. Zelnorm was a great drug. It was called Cisapride, but it caused a weird heart rhythm in a very small minority of people, but enough for it to be taken off the market. This Prucalopride doesn't do that. Hmm. And you can just take it every day, and it just induces a normal bowel movement. So for people with just a bowel that's just flabby, I would consider this Prucalopride.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you can ask your primary care about that. And if you just heard this in passing and you didn't get to write it down and your memory sucks like mine does, just email me, and I'll get you the information on that. All right? We got about a minute left. I don't know if we got time to do anything. We didn't play a song this time. We'll play one next time. We need to come up with something. Maybe I'll play keyboards on it.
All right, cool.
I'll bring my fuzz pedal.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, bring a pedal, and we'll figure... I might... do you have a little preamp?
Actually, I think I do.
Okay. If you don't,
Will a DI work?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got all that stuff.
Okay, yeah, that'll be fine. Okay, so we'll do that. So we'll see you next week. Thanks. Always go to Dr. Scott and Cody Gilmer. Check out Cody's band, Indie Ghost, on Spotify or at Indie Ghost Band on Twitter. Can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Eric Nagel, Roland Campos, Sam Roberts, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Ron Bennington, and Fez Watley, whose early support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel. SiriusXM, channel 103, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks go to our listeners, whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time. Check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, and get off your asses and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine.